Jesus loves you, and so do we. You just can't get enough of that. Jesus loves you, and so do we. And just so you don't think that's lip service, we share the love. Isn't that good stuff? As you're making your ways back to your seat, I'm going to do things a little differently this morning, and I've not planned this, but I just feel like God has laid it on my heart. And how many know that when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you respond? There's only one answer. It's yes. Yes, Lord. With that said, I'm not even going to release the children yet because I wanted to do this together. I just want to let you know that my sense this morning, and you'll hear as we go through our time, we as a body have been under attack. I want you to know, because I have a unique position in the church to speak with many, if not all of you, pretty regularly. And I want you to know that we have a disproportionately high rate of attack right now. I have had 7 different folks in need of visits in the hospital this past week. We have had the loss of a mother. We've just been in the midst of an incredible storm, and those of you that are in it know exactly what I'm talking about. And with that said, you're going to hear today's message. We go to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to have a very positive, very inspiring message. But I want you to hear before we even begin that God loves you. Jesus loves you. And you know what? There isn't any storm that has the right, if you're a child of God, to hold you down. It can knock you down. But as a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there isn't anything that can keep you down. All right? And I just had a sense this morning as we were worshiping that there was a bit of a cloud over us. And I want to go back to the second song that we sang. And I want to ask you now, is just prepare your hearts. We're going to sing it again. I want you to listen to the words, and I want you to cry out to the Lord the words of these songs, for this particular song. And I want you to just take heart that if you've accepted Christ, there is nothing that can keep you down. Amen? Amen? Sing with me as we go into this song. Pay very close attention. We have hope. There isn't anything that'll keep you down.
Hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust.
Heaven's light on earth.
In history, you live.
broke the chains. You have hope living in us. The rock. You have light shining through you for all the world to see. It's over. He rose from the dead. There's no more fear. Calls you. Hope, if you will simply believe and receive the gift of grace. This body believes. Lord, we believe. Real.
You broke the chains.
Broke the chains.
Rose to life.
You can have life.
You are the hope living in us.
Hope living in
you
us.
Are the rock.
The rock.
In whom we trust. You are the light shining for all.
Let your light shine for everybody
see.
To see. He did it. No more fear. He's drawing you to himself. The hope living in us. Brothers, sisters, do you believe? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? That he's conquered fear? Do you feel him drawing you near? You have him inside if you'll believe and receive. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. I don't care if the storm is raging. You have hope living inside you. Your trust is in a rock. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Those of you who've been with us know that we're in the middle of a series. This is week number 4 of a series that we've entitled, Now What? And this little fellow on his back has been the graphic representation of Now What? As I told you, I know firsthand. There's a family that's not here tonight. I got another call to the hospital last night at 8:30. Two members of the family in the hospital. This turtle on his back represents what's going on right now in this Bridge family. And it grieves me in large part that I'll be in China for the next 10 days because I know that I know that I know we're in the middle of a storm. So as I get ready to leave, it's important to me that you know, that you know, that you know. That there isn't anything that can keep you on your back if you're a child of God. Amen. Now what? Now Jesus. That's what. You know, that turtle image is better representing Nehemiah when we look at it this way. Under construction. You know, as we look at Nehemiah, what we've been focusing on is the rebuilding of the wall, the rebuilding of the city. Filling our part in God's great plan. Well, I want you to know that while I'm away and for the rest of our lives, we will all continue to be under construction. We may be under attack, but praise God, we're under construction. God is working on us. If you're here and you're a child of God, then you're being built up. If you're here and you're not yet a child of God, answer the door. Jesus is knocking. Either way, we're all under construction. You know, when we looked at first chapter of Nehemiah in our first week, we saw as we consider what we were learning here in this now what approach, that we need to put first things first, like releasing the children. Thank you, Bob. If you're nursery 3, 4, 5, 1st through 5th grade, please come back to Mr. Steve and Mr. and Mrs. Moldenhauer and begin to get built up in the Lord. We don't babysit, we disciple.
Most of you know that I lost my mother Friday morning. Now I'm tearing up. I thought about this. For almost a year, she knew she was gone. She was with Jesus. She knew that. I know that. Because never once did she cry. Never once did she say, "Why me?" She just stayed with Jesus and let him comfort her clear through the whole thing. Friday morning at 6:20, I got a call. Mom had passed away. Jesus gave me a vision instantly. My father, who died in 1983, he and Jesus were standing at the gates receiving my mother. That's what I saw. And through my faith in Jesus Christ, I know that that's the truth. I know that what Jeff teaches us and what I've learned from the Bible, that's the truth. That's the outcome that we all have to look forward to. The most important thing is, I spent a long time without Jesus. I'm still really a bad sinner. But I have Jesus in my heart, and my belief is as strong as it can humanly be for Jesus. I just want to know who out there doesn't have him. How could you take it? How could you watch it? My mother raised me. I was with her 54 years. How could you see her die, your mother, if you didn't have Jesus? Who could you blame? Who could you find fault in? What reason could you find for it? Right now, standing here, that I know, it bothers me because I can't hug Mom anymore. But one thing I know, Jesus is hugging her. My dad's hugging her. So many friends that passed before her, they're hugging her. She's in such a wonderful, wonderful place. And I know it because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have that faith? Do you know where your family members are going, your friends and everybody? Only with that song right there and understanding he broke the chains. But not only did he break the chains, he gives us a comfort in our heart that'll allow us to keep going. I want every one of you, and I know there's some here that aren't saved. I want every one of you to have what I have, the strength that I have in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. We're in the midst of some major storms. All the more reason to stick to what God gave us in his word and to understand how to get through it. Amen. Now what? Let's listen to Nehemiah. We saw in chapter 1 that we need to put first things first and that we need to pray. We saw in chapter 2 that we need to have God's sequence of ready, aim, fire. And how often we get that confused. Ready, fire, aim. Last week, we saw the importance of planning your work and then working your plan. That we need to take the vision that God has given us and we need to put it into action steps, which is the power of a plan. This week, here we go. Just do it. Nehemiah chapter 4. You recognize the Nike swoosh. They're a company that's made this term famous. They've trademarked the just do it clause. Well, I want you to know that long before Nike ever came along or thought about a commercial, Nehemiah championed the just do it mentality in following what God has given us. Just do it. We have three parts, three simple words, three simple steps, one common goal. And that is at the heart of our whole series. How do we overcome real life challenges? We walk through, first things first, pray, get right with God. Get yourself ready. Get your ducks in a row. Define what success looks like in aiming. And then fire. Join God in action. Doing what? Doing the plan that he's laid on your heart. Okay, now what? Now just do it. Nehemiah chapter 4. I want you to see three things this morning that you'll take away with you from Nehemiah chapter 4. The big umbrella is sometimes you got to step up and just do it. And there are three parts to just doing it. First, don't back down. The first six verses of Nehemiah 4, you'll see, send the message to us, don't back down. The middle part of the chapter says, get ready to rumble. I'd have had that guy whose famous voice says that, but it's trademarked, and I'm told they'd sue us if I used it. But you've got to get ready to rumble. What's that mean, Jeff? That means when you're doing it, and it's God's plan, and it's his vision, it's his goal, you're still gonna have fights. Bring it on, right? Seven times, eight counting last night, I had bring it on moments as a shepherd, as I heard that there were sheep in the flock that were hurting. That's real pain. That's real life. I'm here to tell you that just because you get a hold of what God has put in your life and you are doing what you're supposed to do and you are being who you are supposed to be, there are no guarantees of some prim path, easy life. You better get ready to rumble, because when you're doing what God wants, the enemy, Satan, he gets mad and he comes at you. Thirdly, when we just do it, you'll see as we close out, you've got to do your part. God has a role to play, and you have a role to play. No dead weight, no couch potatoes, no caboose just getting pulled along on God's curtails. So this morning, Nehemiah 4, just do it. Don't back down. Get ready to rumble, and then do your part. Let's take a look at this. Let's unfold it. First of all, key point number one, verses 1 through 6, don't back down. I call this how you deal with people that are talking smack. You know what I'm talking about? Trash talking in your face, tearing you down. Not necessarily just like the sports figures where it's all hype. I'm talking about the real deal, in your face, tear you down. You'll never amount to anything. You don't honestly think that's going to work, do you? Are you an idiot? I've heard those things in my life. I've been the bullseye where those arrows have gone. When people are talking smack, you don't back down. Let me show you the first verse of chapter 4. It says this in God's word. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. Remember where we're at. They're getting ready to rebuild the wall. Over 150 years, nobody could get it done. God called Nehemiah and he said, "Yes, Lord." And so he's going. And you know what? He starts to have opposition. Remember, he did first things first. He prayed. He got ready. He had God's definition of success. He was committed to joining God in action. And he had God's plan. Sounds like a ticket to Easy Street, doesn't it? First verse, chapter 4. Became furious and began to mock them. He came under attack. Smack talking. People just giving you a bunch of junk. Let me show you a version of smack talking that's a little funny. Okay? It's lighthearted on purpose. But don't lose sight of the principle. You're going to have people in your life that are going to talk smack and are going to come against you verbally. Try to intimidate you verbally. Don't back down. Take a look at this guy.
I've been playing ball, you know, ever since I was a kid. You know, it's just something that I've always been good at. My game is multi-dimensional, you know. I play the guard. I shake and bake, you know. I get step up behind the line. I make the big tray, you know. I'll shoot the rock. I got no problem with making the big shot, you know, 0.5 seconds left. It's the triple head fake. People, you know, they don't know what's going on. You know, if somebody's guarding you and you throw one of those at them, like that, like, which way is he going? They don't know. They have no idea. And I've yet to meet my match, to be honest with you.
You ready? Check it up. Let's go. Come on. Play harder! Where are you?
Yeah, you know, I got dreams of going to the league, make it to the NBA, but I gotta be honest, I don't think they're ready for me.
Come on. What's the matter? The ball's right here. Where are you going? Come on, what are you doing? Here, there it is.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, most of the people I play with, by the end of the game, they're ready to go home and cry to their mamas. 9 out of 10 go home and are crying to their mamas.
Come on, you can't... Not in my house, kid! Oh, what's the matter? Whoa, what's the matter? Who's got the ball now,
I can't deal with that. I can't deal with Shaq getting all weepy on me, you know? Crying to his mom in the stands. Would be ugly. It's not good for TV ratings.
Come on. Come on, the ball's right here. Come on. Oh, you think you're funny, huh?
My inspiration, I think, comes from the greats. You know, the game's greats. Jordan, Magic, Jabbar, Bird, you know, all of them. You know, the greats. But I think I would put my name in that list somewhere, you know, in that list. I mean, I'd have to. I'd have to do myself justice. I mean, those guys lost every once in a while. My record's spotless. I've yet to lose. I'm undefeated.
Oh, that's a foul. That's a foul. Technical foul. I'm teeing you up. I get a free throw. No arguing from you, young man. You hear me? Let's go. Play fair.
How'd I get so good? That's a great question. Well, it's not the shoes. It's not the shoes. All I can tell you is that when you're good, you're good. And I'm good. Oh, yeah. When it comes to basketball, I simply can't be beat. I'm too good. So all I can say is, Kobe, Shaq, I'm coming for you, boys.
Free shot.
Not!
Oh! That check bounced.
I don't know if you caught him. That check bounced. We've all been around people that talk smack, right? Sometimes it's obnoxious and funny, but other times it's designed specifically to tear us down. I'm here to tell you, representing what Nehemiah teaches us in God's Word, don't back down. What do you do when people start talking smack? Hear me. You do the exact same thing you were going to do before they showed up. What do? You keep on keeping on. You do exactly what God has laid on your heart. You do not, under any circumstances, back down. First component of just do it. Don't back down. Tragic loss. Incredible valleys. Painful times in the hospital. Don't back down. The Christian walk is not designed to go in reverse. Don't back down. Now, look at how Nehemiah chose to deal with the people talking smack. I want you to see, first and foremost, in this next verse, this is verse 6, word says, so he built the wall. What did he do? He built the wall. They're coming. They're furious. They're tearing us down. What do? We build the wall. It goes on to say, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height. He got the job half done at this point. He just kept on keeping on. But then pick this up. For the people had a mind to work. Not I had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Maybe stated differently, they had a heart to work. See, when you've got a mind to work for God, then I'll tell you what, your wall will get built. I don't care what it is, your wall will get built. Just don't back down. If you've got a mind to do God's work, if you've got a heart to do what He's called you to do, the job will get done. Just don't back down. Second part we said we'd look at in the second passage of Nehemiah, verses 7 through 15. Let's get ready to rumble. I call this making your battle plans. We'll see as we get into the interior of chapter 4 that Nehemiah, now he's just gone through this process. And now it's time to get ready to rumble. Let me show you what God's Word says. Just because we don't let the smack talking stop us doesn't mean that we take it too lightly. These people that come up against you, I heard this morning on the news, in Baltimore, some kids have got a list. A list. You're on our list. They've been expelled because of the things that are happening in the schools. Somebody carries a list. You know what? You got to take that seriously. You don't stop going to school, but you take that seriously. That's what Nehemiah shows us. Let me show you what I mean. It says this in verse 8. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. All of them. All the enemies are now conspiring. They're coming. And we're going to get you. Okay? That was the message of the verbal assault. We're coming to get you. We're not just going to tease you. We're coming to get you. So, check this out. Nehemiah's plan in response, it included a part for God and it included a part for the people. This is for us to take with us. This is part of the great model that we have. In fact, in verse 9, you will see Nehemiah, the entire book of Nehemiah, in a nutshell. This, to me, is the pivot point of the entire book. Nehemiah 4, chapter 9. If you could take one verse to summarize the book of Nehemiah, this is it. Nehemiah in a nutshell. It says this, "But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night." We prayed, and we set up a guard. Well, Jeff, I thought God is supposed to be all-powerful. Once I ask Him for it, shouldn't I be able to just trust Him to know that it's going to be there? We have no guarantees of any particular outcome. Our guarantee is that at the finish line, as a child of God, we'll be welcomed home to the ultimate victory. But I'm here to tell you, if you go anywhere and you hear somebody tell you that if you pray enough, if you work hard enough, if you're good enough, if you do your church stuff just right, you're guaranteed a blessing in the form of X. None of us has the power to fill in that blank. Okay? So Nehemiah teaches us the both and principle. We prayed and we set up a guard. Let me show you how this plays out. I think he exemplifies the both and principle of Christianity. This is one of the foundational principles of being a Christian, of being a Christ-like believer in Jesus. Okay? This both and principle. Here it is. Ask God for the victory. At the same time, then you do all you can to defeat the enemy. You go to God, sovereign God, He's in charge. He's got the master plan, He's in charge of everything. But we have a role to play. We've got to do our best. We've got to do our part. Here's one of the ways I like to look at it. Is you better get ready for offense. You better get ready to live in a world where you're going to be coming under attack. Let me show you this in the form of a video. Both and. You trust God, you have the faith of a giant, and at the same time, you get ready to fight for your life. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. Quote from Jesus Christ.
I am not an innocent bystander.
I am a threat to my enemy.
I am powerful.
I am strategic and bold.
I will not sit idly by.
I will take ground. I will advance.
I will tear through my enemy.
And my enemy will hate.
I will not avoid the difficult fight.
I will fight. I will be wounded.
I will be targeted, and I will flee.
I will not tire. My wounds will be healed.
I will see tragedy. I will feel pain.
But I will be restored.
My feet will not stumble.
My hands will hold fast.
I will not be intimidated.
I cannot be stopped!
I will stand by my brothers in arms!
I will stand by my brothers in arms! I will fight until my last breath!
I will fight until my last breath!
I will push the limit!
I will push the limit!
I scale the mountains!
I scale the mountains!
My enemy will cower!
My enemy will cower! For I serve a great king!
Not a lot of defense in that portrayal. That's on purpose. He finishes at the end and says, I serve a great king. What's the message? We need to prepare for battles. You need to prepare for your battles. You need to expect pain and casualties. I will see tragedies, he says. You can't go into battle and treat it like a trip to Disney World. You will have casualties. There will be scars. You know what? Life is messy. Anybody tells you that you can take a certain Christian pill and all of a sudden life just gets cleaned up and everything's perfect, they're lying. They're selling you something that stinks because it's not the real deal. Next, you stay on offense. That's what it's about. What do we do when we have the pain? I wrote you personally. When we were broken at the thought of what might be going on to Gideon. And I told you all personally that my desire were that you praise and worship our God who is able. Amen. In the midst of this storm. These things are true. You will have battles. You will see pain. You will feel that pain. You will see tragedies. But you stay on offense. Jim Elliot, one of my favorite missionaries who was martyred at a very young age in Ecuador, said, "Those saints who advance on their knees never retreat. Those saints who advance on their knees never retreat." We stay on offense. And while the battles rage on, take this to heart if you're a child of God, the war is won. The battles rage on, but the war is won. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. Where do you get your fuel to continue to fight in the midst of the storm? When the devil's throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at you? It's in the knowing. This is just a battle, devil. I've read the end of the story. You lose. In the name of Jesus, you've been defeated. We'll just spend some time here in the trenches. But you and I both know this game is over. The war is won. Amen. Unfortunately, some people struggle with doubts that allow their fear to empower the enemy. I've been there. You ever been there? If you can relate to that, I want you to take heart. Let Nehemiah be a blessing to you, because I'll tell you what, he dealt with that exact same thing, and we're going to see it right here. Even when the team knew they were working, doing what God had called them to do, and that they had the promises of God to win the war, in the midst of the battle, some people got very, very scared. And their fear paralyzed them. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says this, "In Judah it was said," now this is a quote, this is what was being said amongst the rank and file, "the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Uh-oh. We're buckling. Uh-oh, we're losing our strength. We ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall." Now remember, it's already halfway done. All they've got is some smack talking, threatening them. And the people began to buckle. It says, "Our enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work." This is what scared them. This is what paralyzed them. They heard the enemy saying this. "We're going to come on them like a thief in the night. They won't even know we're there until we kill them. And we're going to kill them all." The people took that to heart. And they became afraid. They took their eye off the ball. They stopped listening to their leader. And their ultimate leader. And they began to listen to the enemy. Don't you ever stop to listen to the enemy. He has nothing of value to say to you. Hear me? Don't let him corner you. Don't listen for a little bit. The enemy has nothing of value to say to you. See, the people were ready to give up. They were intimidated. You know who gets intimidated? People on defense. Okay, how bad's it going to be? How many do you think are coming? I don't know. The guy that yells charge and heads first into the crowd, there's not an ounce of intimidation in him. They were ready to give up because they were intimidated. I would say this, they had put their faith in the enemy. That's what their fear was. Their fear was ungrounded faith in the enemy. You don't have time for that when you're on offense. That's like oil and water. They cannot go together. When you are on fire and on offense for Jesus, the enemy doesn't have any way of penetrating your heart or your mind. And he will not get in. Now stop, take a breather, get a little 10 minutes on the side of the road, you bet he's right there. And the more offense you're on, the harder he's going to come against you every time you take a breather. We have lice in our house this week. I mean to tell you, he's come at us with everything. Everything. Some of you know me well enough to know I'm not a handyman. At our house, if Kim can't fix it, we're in trouble. Okay? I mean to tell you, everything has broken in our house. Bill's been to our house. I'll bet you literally 15 things have broken in the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know, lice have come into the house, the gift that keeps on giving. We've got it. I'm leaving for China in the morning. As of last night, 8 people in less than a week in need of a little bit of love at the hospital. You know, it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to let your attention shift. I had a boss in business used to say it's difficult to redecorate the bedroom when the kitchen's on fire. You know, the devil will try to light your kitchen on fire, I'm telling you. But you don't let up. Don't let, oh no, what are we going to do? Take you off. I know what we're going to do. We've been called to do it. God called and we said, the answer is yes, Lord. You just show us the question. Don't ever let the enemy distract you. Don't put your faith, which leads to fear, in the enemy. See, Nehemiah knew the best answer to fearful paralysis is tactical, strategic action. What do you do when you're like feeling overwhelmed? I had a talk this morning. Somebody. From one of the folks that led a Bible study with us. This great little antidote, blank worship equals blank renewal. And you fill in the blank. One word goes both places. What do? Worship. If you only get storms once a month, worship once a month. You'll be all set. You get storms once a week, worship once a week. God will restore you. You'll become renewed. You're all set. But if you're like me and the storms come, splitting nanoseconds, sometimes in between them, then you better worship in intervals of nanoseconds. That's how you get through. Worship in the midst of it, be renewed, and that's how you win. Nehemiah knew that. You take action when you feel that storm coming on. See, he didn't back down. He made battle plans. Let me show you more of what he said. This is where Nehemiah now begins to adjust. He's staying on. He's not backing down. Now he becomes tactical. It says this in verse 13. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall. And I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. He said, okay, this looks like a real threat. Let's adjust. Are we stopping, boss? No, we're not stopping. We don't back down. What are we doing? We're making our battle plans. We're shifting. We're going to make this happen. See, Nehemiah also reminded the people of the difference between a good idea. Because now, can't you imagine there were going to be people around here saying, hey, I'll tell you what, I've lived here my whole life, Nehemiah. You know what we need to do? I got a good idea. Nehemiah says, no, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. We're going to do God's idea and we're not stopping. We're moving straight on. He says this, when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the people. Do not be afraid of them. Nehemiah saw that they were afraid. He's redesigned the strategy now to deal with it. But he stands up and he says, I can see the fear in your eyes. Don't be afraid of those enemies. Why? The verse continues. Verse 14 says this, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Not because you've got a great leader named Nehemiah. Not because we've got a pool of good ideas. But because the Lord, your God, who is awesome, is the one who has called us to this. It's in His strength and His promises that we're moving on. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Here's the takeaway. When we're doing God's work, God's way, with God's heart, then I'll tell you what, you can be bold and fight with a passion. Amen. You fight with a passion and don't you back down. You be bold. Verse 15 continues, says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall. See, word got out and they went back to work. Verse 15's message, let me paraphrase what was just said there. God did His part. We did our part. In a nutshell, He took care of the enemies and we got back to work. He did His part, we did ours. He took care of the enemies, we got back to work. It's action. Third and final part of our passage. We know that you don't back down. We know that you make battle plans and you get ready to rumble. And then lastly, you do your part. It's God's plan, but you do your part. I call this divine perseverance. This is staying with it no matter what it takes. You know, verse 16 says this, from that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. Get this picture now. Half of the workforce is building the wall. The other half is there with all of the materials necessary to fight. How you doing, Fred? You need any more bricks? I'm all right. Hey, is that sword getting heavy? Side by side. One doing the work, the other protecting the work. Ready to fight. It's ingenious. It says, now notice how hard, how smart, and how strategic Nehemiah and the others worked. You see that? Cut his workforce in half. You do the bricklaying, he'll do the enemy fighting, and then we'll switch off. They weren't just being energetic, and this is key. This is key to me as a pastor. Okay, it's not about just getting busy. They weren't just energetic, they were effective. We have a responsibility to be effective. You know what? You can be busy and feel good and get nothing done. You ever been there? I'm a task-oriented person. Okay? I get a kick out of checking off on my list that I did something. Makes me feel good inside. Yes, got another one done. Well, how many know that if I've got a list with 30 things to do, and I'm working off the bottom of the list instead of the top of the list, at the end of the day I could say, wow, look it, I got all these things done. But it really wasn't a good day. Because I wasn't effective. I need to work from the top down. What's the most important thing? And get that done. Nehemiah stressed this. It's not about just being busy, it's about being effective. See, when you do your part, whether it's in God's big plan or in overcoming whatever your real life challenge is, when you do your part, which has been inspired and designed and affirmed by God in your prayer life, then you will be strategic and effective. When you do what God has called you to do, the right way, with the right motives, you will be effective and you will be strategic. That's almost by definition what your part is. Look at verse 17. Those who were rebuilding the wall took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. See this? Now we've got workers and we've got defenders. And now even the workers who are ready for the fight are doing work with one hand and carrying their weapons with the other. You know, did I tell you Nehemiah is a both-and kind of guy? This is what it's all about. Did you catch it? These people, everyone was double-fisted. Okay? Not the ones that went to Bible college. Not the seminary people. Not the ministry leaders. Everyone. This is the essence of what it means to be the body of Christ. If we're a body and the legs choose not to work, we're a lame body. Everyone was double-fisted. They had a tool in the left hand and a weapon in the right. Everyone. In our vision statement as a church, those I gave you our vision statement a couple weeks ago, you may have noticed, we address this principle in the vision of what it is to be the bridge. We say each of us will become double-fisted seed sowers who grow comfortable working behind the spiritual plow. Double-fisted seed sowers. All of us. Who grow comfortable working in service behind the spiritual plow. That's a Nehemiah principle. That's what he's doing here. See, Nehemiah's example and our bridge vision both require your absolute best. You know, picture what's going on here in Nehemiah's time. You don't have people moping around, you know, semi-slinging mud. For over 150 years, they couldn't get this thing done. Nehemiah and his team accomplish it in 52 days. I promise you, there was nobody slacking on the team. Nobody moping around. It requires your absolute best. Now I apply it to our context here today, and I ask you, in your part in the wall, when you find who it is that God has called you to be, your part, are you ready to give Him your best? Are you up to the challenge? Can you be one of these double-fisted seed sowers with tools in one hand and weapons in the other, ready to go out into our darkness, ready to build our wall? Are you ready? Can you handle the challenge? Nehemiah's rebuilding team could handle the challenge. They gave their absolute best. They also captured the essence of Winston Churchill's famous six-word speech. Some of you may have heard this before. He was invited to a boys' prep school back in the battle, just having won World War II, defeating the Nazis and being probably the single biggest poster child for perseverance. They asked him to come in and speak to these kids, tell them the essence of what it means to be successful, what it's going to take. He had over an hour of designated time to speak. He came up and they gave a six-word speech. His speech was simply this: never, 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 never give up. Divine perseverance that applies to us as well. Never, 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 never give up. Nehemiah's people, the team that did the work, did it. Now that's a speech. I'd like to show you, it's in your bulletin. This is the greatest example of that principle I have ever seen. And I absolutely love it. I put it in your bulletin because if it moves you half as much as it moves me, you can have it. You know, tear it out, cut it, keep it in your Bible. That's a beautiful picture. That's a great word picture for what we're talking about here. Don't you ever give up. I love that frog. See? I pray that your faith will have the tenacity of that frog. Say, that's right. I'm in your mouth and my head's halfway down your throat, but you're not going anywhere, buddy. You think you got... One of us has got somebody. No question about it. We're locked up. But the fact that I can be talking and I got my hand on your throat tells me I think I like my position better than yours. Don't ever give up. I pray you'll have that tenacity because God has called each of us to live a whatever it takes attitude for Christ. Amen. Whatever it takes for Christ. You want to get through your storm? You want to overcome real life challenges? You say to the Lord, Jesus, whatever it takes. The answer is yes. Now you just tell me the question. Whatever it takes, sign me up. I'm with you. You won't stay in those challenges very long. I want you to look at the wall builders. This is what it says in verse 18. It says, as for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built. Don't back down. You do what God's called you to do. And you have that weapon right here. You be ready. It's both and. They were committed to doing whatever it took to complete God's plan. How about you? 2 weeks ago, I mentioned having a personal vision statement for your life. Not a list of verbs that you do, but a description of what that would look like if you were successful. Paint the portrait of your life, who God's called you to be. If you're committed to that, not what you want, not the big house, not the fancy car, who God has called you to be, are you committed to living that out? I put it in this way. Are you just dating God, or are you ready to get married? You just dating God, kicking the tires, checking them out? Or are you going to get married? Do you want to make that lifelong commitment that says, we have oneness? I'm in him and he is in me. That's the question. See, Nehemiah was married to God, and he had a confidence that was not his own. I know a lot of you, and like me, you would be well served to have his confidence. We all would. In those storms, if we had the confidence of the Lord, take a look at what verse 20 says. Our God will fight for us. Nehemiah knew that he knew that he knew, as a child of God who was doing what God had called him to do, he was doing his part. He knew that God would fight for them. Tough point here. That's not a promise to those that are dating God. It's a promise to those who have been married to the Lord. Amen. The Bible calls the church, the body of Christ, those that believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, the bride of Christ. He will fight for us, but not if you're just dating. That's not a promise to those who date. Knowing God would fight for them, they went on to say this in verse 21. So we carried on the work, with half of them holding the spears from dawn until the stars appeared. We did the work, and half of them stood guard from sunup to sundown. Nothing, my friends, hear me, nothing can take the place of faith-based perseverance. Nothing takes the place. Everyone worked hard from dawn to dark. Tough love question here. Get ready. How's your faith-based work ethic? Double-fisted tools and weapons from sun up till sundown. One on the work patrol, one on the defense patrol. How's your faith-based work ethic? How hard are you working on selfless, key point, eternal key point matters? How hard are you working on things that do not benefit you directly or indirectly, that have eternal significance? One of the things we need to have a gut check on after reading Nehemiah. Verse 22 says, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem. So that, why? So that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. Everybody come. Why? What's the purpose? So that you can be a guard by night and a laborer by day. Well, when do I get out on the boat? How much can I get? Well, I'm not sure if I... Everyone come so that you can be a guard by night and a laborer by day. Are you doing your best to serve as a guard and a laborer 24/7? What has God asked you to guard and labor over? Where's your part in the strategy? What is it that you've been called to guard and labor over? Remember, it's there for everyone. More tough love. Are you more committed or consumer-oriented? Do you ask the questions that say, Lord, where do I pour myself out? Or do you say, what's in it for me? Do you say, well, you know, it's so-so. I didn't quite get entertained the way I'd like to, or I wish there was a little bit more for me there. I tell you what, you'll never be as filled up as when you pour yourself out for somebody else in the name of Jesus. You will never be as filled up as when you pour yourself out for somebody else doing the work of the Lord. Are you willing to give your best to God? Let me show you one last illustration that addresses this question of not just giving something, but giving your best. Are you willing to give your best
to the Lord? Show me something, 10 yards, move it, let's go, Matt, let's go, Jonathan, show me something, 10 yards, show me some power, no knees, keep your knees off the ground, show me something, there you go, 10 yards, show me some muscle, show me some power, give me some heart, let's go, very good, boy, very good, let's run it back.
Oh, man,
funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. Good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
But I have strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! No, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No, you keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart!
I can't do it!
You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
I've got to do 50. I've got to do 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Kurt?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Kurt?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Coach says to the player, you're the most influential person on this team. I say to you, look at your life. Look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your co-workers. Those that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are the most influential person in their lives. He also says, if you walk around defeated, so will they. If you walk around defeated, so will they. We sang that song twice this morning at the beginning because we have a rock in which we trust. We have the hope of the nations in us. You are to shine like a light into the darkness of sorrowful lives. But it takes your best. You don't negotiate with God that you'll go to the 30-yard line. You don't say, I think I can make it to the 50. You go and you give it your best. That coach, banging the ground. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your best. Give it your best. Tomorrow morning I leave for China and I represent you on the other side of the planet. And I ask you now while I'm gone, will you do your best? I ask you as the coach, slamming the ground, will you do your best? Will you think of those that you know that don't know Jesus and consider yourself to be the most influential person in their lives? Will you do your best? Will you live victoriously? Will you invite them to your Jesus? Will you press past the 20, the 50? Will you make it to the end zone? Will you give it your best and not give up? As we close this out, I ask you, so what's it going to be? Are you going to marry the Lord and give Him your best? Or are you going to keep dating and take on the challenges of your life in your own strength? You want to get married and have the victory and the power and the confidence of the Lord? Or do you want to keep dating and take on your challenges the same way you've been doing it, in your own strength? If you want guaranteed victory in the war of life, I want you to know that Jesus is the unbeatable champ. Amen. My first inclination was to write the undefeated. But you know what? He's better than undefeated. He's unbeatable. and he wants to fight for you. Just as we saw in Nehemiah, our God will fight for us. He wants to fight for you. Ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Accept his gift of grace by faith. That's all it takes. If you'll do that, then you're gifted Nehemiah's model. Use his model. We saw it already. One, put first things first. Go to the Lord in prayer. Get things done right. Get your ducks in a row. Define success his way. And then join him in action. Then go ahead and take the vision he's given you and turn it into action steps in the form of a plan. And then today, just do it. You've got it. The hope of the nations is in you. You've got all that you need in Christ. Just do it. Just do it in the three steps we talked about. Don't back down. Get ready to rumble and know a fight's coming. And in that fight, do your part. I say this two times because here I say it to you in terms of the big picture of life. Find your place. Find your fit in God's perfect plan. And then just do it. But we also have a series called Now What? Overcoming Real Life Challenges. So I say to you, whatever you're facing, see, this truth is a principally based truth, and it applies. Whatever you're facing, don't back down. Don't run away. Stand up. Get ready. Get ready for what? Get ready for a fight. Get ready to rumble. And then lastly, after giving it to the Lord and saying, okay, we prayed and posted a guard. Lord, I'll do my part. Whatever it takes. The answer is yes. Let's pray. Say, Lord, I come to you now and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that its perfect timing is here. So many of us are in the midst of storms. Father, give us the stick-to-itiveness, the perseverance, the confidence in you to live out this just do it principle. Father, I pray for strength. As the enemy comes against so many of us, I pray that there'll be strength not to back down. I pray that there'll be wisdom and discernment as we make battle plans and get ready to rumble. And then I pray that there'll be the tenacity of that frog as we just do our part in your great plan. I thank you that you've loved us enough to send us your son to die on the cross, that we would have this opportunity to receive the gift of grace by faith, by simply believing in our heart that Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he would do, and his promises are guarantees for those who accept him as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for all this and more. I pray that you'll be with our flock, this beautiful people, Lord, that you've given me the privilege of shepherding. I pray that you'll be with them while I'm away. And Lord, as we're speaking different languages and literally on opposite sides of the globe, I pray that you will unify us in the spirit of doing our best to make a difference, to cancel reservations in hell, to not look back, to invite people to church, to share our beliefs, to offer them invites to a rock show on Halloween, whatever it takes. Lord, let us feed the hungry. Let us meet the needs where they are. In the name of Jesus, amen.